Here's Westbrook on top. Shot clock at 10. Minute 35 to go in the game. Denver by 6. Russell will step back. He'll shoot the 3. Might have got a piece on the perimeter. Kuminga down low to pick it up, though, is Aaron Gordon who puts it in. 38 points for Gordon tonight.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Play on the defensive end.
Good save.
And there's Sharp again.
Yeah. He wants this up. He wants this up.
Top. Shaden takes it strong and packs it with two hands on a nice lead pass from Avdija.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Digs this one out. He's got a base hit to left center that'll bring home Hernandez. 3-1 Dodgers as Will Smith knocks in his first run of the year.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice little Tuesday morning. We had some 3 a.m. baseball just got wrapped up about 5 minutes ago.
3 a.m. I was a little bummed. I was on my way in. I thought, hey, maybe I'll be able to catch the last couple of seconds of the game, but I did not. I missed it. It was over by the time I got here today.
You missed the last couple outs of the game. Yeah, the seconds. I don't know how you classify baseball with seconds.
Give me an inning. Give me an inning. Why are we going to start this at 3 a.m.? What time was it in Tokyo at first pitch?
I think...
what are they, 18 hours, 19 hours ahead?
It's something
19
like that.
Hours ahead?
It's 6 yeah. or 7 o'clock at night.
Okay, let's see. What time is it in Tokyo right now?
It's a good
now?
Road win for LA to win at Chicago right. in Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's technically a road game
1-0
for the Dodgers.
On the road for the
yeah.
Dodgers.
Little,
yeah.
I mean, for, yeah, it's 10 o'clock at night right yeah. now
so
in Tokyo.
So it was a 7 o'clock.
So it was a 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock so first normal. Pitch. Yeah. That's not too shabby.
That's normal.
Move it back, Tokyo. Come on. Help us out in the States. 8 o'clock. They're all going to go. Do you see the cheapest ticket? I think standing room, like top of the stadium, was $3,500.
Was it really?
Yeah. And nobody was reselling. There were no tickets on the resale market, which made me jealous of, like, why aren't we like that as a country? They got their tickets and they're like, nope, I'm not missing this opportunity. I don't care how much you offer me.
A little disappointed.
A little disappointed. You want it to be more than that?
Linfield and run-of-the-mill gray sweats. It's opening day.
Oh, yeah. No baseball game.
Your
no,
team it's
really
day.
It's really
it really is, though.
I mean, it technically is opening day for your team.
You are
not
1-0.
For my team. I'll wear my gear on my opening day. This is not real opening day.
No.
It's not my opening day.
So we're not celebrating this opening day.
No, next Thursday at Dodger Stadium with the Tigers there, and they hand out rings and get banners up. Yeah, then
you might look to go 3-0.
Huh?
You would be looking
your
to go
third game of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's third opening day.
That'll
of the
be
year.
Opening day.
Well, no, this is opening day. You're 1-0.
I bet a lot of people on the East Coast probably got up and watched it. 6 a.m. first pitch
6
on the East
little
Coast.
Breakfast. Yeah.
Oh, that's not too shabby.
East Coast yeah. people. That's like when we get. That's basically what time our London football games kick off yeah. on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And if it's an interesting game, you get up early on a Sunday and you watch it.
I'd argue this was good for the Midwest too.
Oh,
5 a.m.
5 a.m.
Yeah.
Ready
for
to go.
Cubby fans.
Cubby yeah. fans getting up and going. Just not for Dodger fans at 3 a.m.
Yeesh.
Should we call up our guy Steven Nelson? He's over in Japan calling the game.
Is Nelson?
Did he go with the Sportsnet crew?
No, he's with the Dodgers, I think.
No, he's an ESPN sports anchor.
He's well, he also Dodgers.
No, but I think he's more Neil Everett now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you not watched the six, the late Sports
no,
Center?
I have not watched
yeah, the late Sports Center.
Been working
Center
together.
Now, is he doing that, though, in the offseason, and now he's back to Dodger baseball?
I don't know. I was under
I
the assumption
he think he's Joe Davis's fill-in when
yeah.
Joe does national stuff.
That's what I thought okay. he was the fill-in when Davis couldn't do it.
I thought I saw a tweet from old Steven Nelson that he was over in Japan. But
no, you might be right. I'm
he
not
might
on Twitter,
be over there
know.
With him. Yeah,
he's there with Sportsnet.
There
yeah,
you go.
LA yeah. Sportsnet.
LA Sportsnet. He's
which
over.
Is their TV partner.
Fox cared
TV.
So little about this game that they didn't even send their broadcasters.
Well, Benetti was there.
No, he was not.
He's in a studio.
He's in
oh,
a studio.
He wasn't in Tokyo?
Him and AJ Pierzynski were not
oh,
in Tokyo.
Man, that's a bummer.
They didn't send their main guys, and they didn't even send their backup guys.
Wow.
To Tokyo.
The Cubbies, I think, paid for Bill Murray to just be shown. And I was like, oh, okay.
Him sing the seventh inning stretch. Did they sing along in Tokyo? Is that a thing over there?
I would imagine they
I
would.
Think so, right? Did he sing it in Japanese?
Dude, what? To help him out a little bit? Benetti couldn't go to that game?
I know. Wouldn't you be ticked off?
I can't. What? Does that really cost you?
Because I don't know what he's doing also this time of year, because he's the voice of the Tigers, and
yeah.
I know he's filled in on a couple of random Blazer games.
Yeah.
He does college football.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this time of year he's probably just freelancing a bit until baseball season officially begins.
Where does he go do that game? In his house?
Just some studio in Los Angeles,
what was
probably.
He doing? Did Fox
well,
have...
he probably lives in Detroit.
Yeah, maybe he lives in Detroit.
Well, I know Fox has the Big East for college basketball. I don't know if they have something else. He might have had a conference tournament.
Oh, you know what? He might have been in Florida because they're doing the spring training down there.
So that's not too bad if you got to get up at 6 and call the game. But
it's still a bummer. I'd rather go to Tokyo.
Yeah, if you give me a paid vacation to Tokyo to go call it, because they've been over there for like a week now playing games.
Some of the Nippon League teams.
What a cool bucket list thing. Like, I'm going to go call a game in that building. I bet the atmosphere was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Packed house, Shohei, all the Japanese players on each team. That would have been a really cool game to be at.
So not opening day?
It has no feel for opening day. It just doesn't.
So stupid that we do this.
And I'm going to, in my updates, tell you it's technically the start of the NCAA tournament today, but no, it's not.
The play-ins are today.
Play-in starts today.
Yeah.
I think we get North Carolina.
North Carolina and San Diego State, which is actually of interest.
Yeah, of interest.
At this point, I'm kind of rooting for North Carolina with all the noise out there. I'm kind of on the Tar Heel bandwagon. It would be pretty funny after all the conversation that goes down if they find themselves in the Sweet 16. You're like,
hasn't there always been a play-in team that's like gotten to the Sweet 16 or something since they started doing that?
I don't know
if
there's always been one, but I know of years where there have been like, hey, this team should make it. They're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they just rattled off four in a row, one year from
that spot.
They did, and they were a debated team too, I believe, going in. Like, why the hell is VCU in there? And then they're in the Final Four at the end of all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, so it's not opening day, and it's also not the start of the NCAA tournament. One is on Thursday, and the other one is a week from Thursday.
Well, they used to call this the first round, which I never really understood.
That was the dumbest thing they did.
They did that for like 2 or 3 years.
Calling it the first four now is what they've called it.
How about just the play-in?
Just the play-in.
Yeah.
The NBA got it right.
It's the play-in.
We got a play-in. You got to play to get in.
That's right.
It's play-in.
If you win, you're in. If you don't win, you're not in. Then you're not in the tournament. It doesn't count as a tournament.
That had to do with the 16 seeds who were automatic qualifiers who were getting testy that, wait, I've qualified for the tournament,
and you're, telling me
I'm not in the tournament?
Yeah, I'll actually back that take up. We are in an era now where so many big schools are making it, especially from two or three select conferences.
Jeez,
we should never have, I saw somebody with this take yesterday, 16 seeds should never be in these games. Like, if you win your small conference and you go,
you're an automatic bid.
You should not have to go play another 16 seed just for the right to go to the tournament. Your chances to go knock off David versus Goliath, and that's, you're not going to win. You're going to lose by 30.
More viewership for this first four stuff, then have it all be, you know, 11 and 12 seeds.
It should be the bottom of the SEC or Big Ten teams.
Oklahoma should be in this game.
Yes,
North Carolina is rightfully
Texas,
in this game.
Agree.
Texas should be in this game.
West Virginia.
The last eight that were in the tournament should be the ones that are playing today and tomorrow.
Agreed.
The last eight seeds, whether they're nines, eights, 10, I don't care what the matchup is, that should be the first four games.
You want a hotter take?
What do you got?
Don't have play-ins.
Yeah, I mean, just have the field.
Just have 64 teams and shut up.
This
is all a money grab.
We don't need 11 seeds.
It's going to be 78 here, I think, before too long.
Probably, but this isn't some grandiose plan of like, well, I don't know, man. There could be four extra teams that should make it. We'll have to find out.
I mean, what are we going to do without West Virginia in the tournament? I don't know if I'm going to survive not being able to watch West Virginia in the tournament.
I got to be honest. You're a disappointment.
I'm sorry.
Your team just won the World Series.
They did. First game back.
Their very first game back. They're the featured team in Tokyo. You played an iconic brand in Chicago. You had a three-run fifth inning, and you come in with Linfield gear and nondescript hop gear, and you're like, I don't care about baseball.
No, it's just...
Sounded like you were going to complain, too,
it
and
did.
Your team won 4-1 today. You know, I don't want to be that Dodger fan. I'm like, they won 4-1.
Bullpen was a little loosey-goosey.
They won 4-1. I thought you got five innings out of Yamamoto. That's nice to see. You didn't have Mookie Betts, who apparently caught the bird flu while he was over there and lost 15 pounds.
It's going around.
It's happening right now. Don't
eat
the
eggs. Birds how they feel about that.
Not thrilled about
so
it
So, no,
right
thrilled
now.
About the game. Otani had two hits.
We're begging Europe for eggs right now.
Stole the base.
Did you wake up and watch it early, or did you wake up at normal time?
I did not sleep well, so I was sort of up and
anyways.
The TV was
getting
on.
Hammered in Seattle at 53 doesn't sit well, does it?
Throw you off
Weird.
On the cracking game?
No, it wasn't that.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't that.
I was all recovered from that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you were, Just totally had a non-sleep night, huh?
Fully healed the next day.
I don't think you understand how any of this works. You're old, man. drinking lingers. It doesn't just go away. Well, I had a nice Sunday. It was okay.
My hangovers take about 48 hours at this point.
That's normal.
If I have a long night, mine take 48 hours.
We went up Saturday evening and did the pub crawl and all that stuff. So by the time we got to the game, because we knew we were driving back in the middle of the night.
That sounds miserable.
You're 53 years old.
That
man.
Sounds miserable.
Like, I'm glad you're living your life.
You're living his best life.
I'm happy for you.
Kid's out of the house.
But it is absolutely impacting
Swag's
your other parts
out there
of your
swinging
life.
And loving every minute of it, man. He's having a blast.
Yeah, weird. I got hammered 2 days ago and I couldn't sleep well. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I was questioning if the Giants played in this game. Would I wake up to watch it?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, definitely not first pitch. I maybe would set my alarm slightly earlier just to turn it on and be like, hey, there's my team they're playing. Just to watch them.
Well, they're replaying it on.
Do they replay it?
They're gonna. I can't remember if it's Fox or FS1.
Talk about a buzzkill.
At like 6 o'clock tonight.
6 o'clock tonight, we get opening day.
Man, that's late.
Hey, for anybody who missed it and hasn't had a phone open all day, doesn't know what the final score is, look at this. It happened about 17 hours ago.
What does FS1 have on right now?
Is
it a show or is
I
it
think
just...
it's a show. Is it First Things First? Is it?
No, First Things First is their third show.
Is it the Craig Carton show?
Yeah, it is.
That.
It's the Craig Carton Breakfast Ball.
Breakfast Ball. There you go.
Breakfast Ball. Yeah, they have a show called First Things First, and it's the third show on their lineup.
Does that come on after Colin?
I think it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's an afternoon drive
time. It's not
show.
The First Thing First at all. No, not at all. First Things First is on at 7 a.m. in our face.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming that's 7 a.m. our time. Breakfast Ball at 8.
What schedule are you looking at?
I'm looking at a random TVinsider.com schedule.
I don't know if I trust that schedule.
And then The Facility at 10 a.m., followed by The Herd with excuse me. I stand corrected.
It is a replay of
the
First Things First.
The 7 a.m. is a replay of First Things First. The live First Things First happens after Colin
Here's the
Cowherd.
Replay of yesterday's First Things First.
So they go Breakfast Ball, which is a ratings juggernaut, and then The Facility, which, I mean, how do you miss The Facility? Watch it daily.
Is that the one with Schlereth?
That's the name of a show, is The Facility?
How do you not watch The Facility?
Is it in, like, a McAfee studio?
It's in The Facility. Duh. And then they go The Herd with Colin Cowherd, and then First Things First.
Who's on The Facility?
And then it's Speak!
Is that the Joy Taylor show that she's not on anymore?
Yeah. She's back.
Oh,
Joy
she's
Taylor's
back.
Back.
Is she back?
Yeah, she's back.
She had a 2-week vacation.
Was that what that was?
Nobody ever mentioned why she was gone.
No
it just
deal.
She just showed back up on the show one day. Oh, hey, Joy, how you doing?
Who
Good
is
to see
on
you.
The facility?
I'll
thought Schlereth was on that one.
No,
he's on Breakfast Nuts.
Who's on first? That is Emmanuel Acho's show.
Oh, God, he would have a terrible show
with
name.
LeSean McCoy, James Jones, and Chase Daniel.
Wow.
That is your facility hosts. The Facility.
Do they debate non-football topics?
They talk about facilities. Oh. Who's got the best ones? Best looking facilities, best weight rooms. Who's
that
got the best
would be
locker room?
A really funny
it's just a facility show.
Coming up next, our facility of the day.
We'll talk about the Blazers practice facility.
What?
All right. Cool.
It's not where you think it is.
No,
it's not even in Portland.
No, it's outside the city limits, ironically. You would have never believed it. See, now we're learning things about facility.
Have you ever
facility.
Heard of Tualatin?
It's just on the outskirts.
The Grand Hotel's across the street.
Cool. That's boss.
Why is the name of the show called The Facility?
I don't know. I got a lot of lingering questions now. I wasn't sure what their lineup was, and this was leading to more questions than answers.
Wasn't a big fan of our night show, Game Night.
Game Night.
I'm like, but we're not a game.
No. No, we're
but
not.
But at least it's sportsy, The Facility.
It doesn't make any sense.
What?
At all. None at all.
Well,
sounds
I'm
like
bummed.
A bad horror flick, doesn't
it? Does.
It does, yeah. It does.
Everybody's thinking The Faculty.
I am thinking The Faculty. Yeah. I'm bummed. I'm disappointed. I'm the only one who wore baseball gear today.
You're the only one celebrating opening day.
Well, MLB baseball.
Maybe it's your Japanese heritage. Maybe it gets you more fired up.
Is that what that is?
I think that's it. 25% of you that's a little more excited. It's
Next
a real
Thursday,
opening day for you.
I will be in Dodger gear. When they raise a banner, hand out
for the
some
third
rings.
Game of the year.
Third game of the year. That traditional opening day opponent, the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah. I mean, catch the fever. Catch the fever.
Heated rivalry.
If you're going to get your rings and hang a banner. Who do you want to do it against? The Detroit Tigers. I've always said that.
Well, let's go, Rob Manfred. Nice job.
I'm glad you're all right. I know you're tired, but I'm glad you're back on the saddle today. I actually want to get to some college basketball stuff coming up next since
all
you're
right.
here. You followed college basketball.
I do.
And your team did not get in. They were just right there of the first four, of the next four, of the four after that, of the four after that.
Yeah.
And then the final four after that.
We could play that fun game of how big would the tournament have to be for the Pilots to make it.
Not this year.
120?
How many teams are there? 300?
300 something,
365.
I think.
Division 1 men's teams. Probably 264.
You see what their net rating was? You want me to look up their net rating?
Oh, no, it's probably around 300.
Oh, is it really?
It's that bad?
Damn, we lost to you guys. Yeah. I can't talk trash anymore.
No, you can't. You guys towed it in L.
Yeah, but we're in the crown.
That's why you're not in the NIT, was because you towed in that L.
The disappointment was the women who will be in the WBIT at Stanford.
They got
this
snubbed.
Thursday.
Put them in the tournament. What are we doing? All right. Well, let's start. I have some leftovers from college basketball. We got new audio. I got audio I didn't play yesterday by a mistake by me.
Oh.
So we'll start in college hoops, and then we'll get it going. The Blazers get another win. A fun fact about those Blazers getting a win. So it is a loaded show. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. Dirt and Sprague next on The Fan. I'm going to ask you, Dirt. And Swag, too. Did you guys watch Selection Sunday? Did you watch the show itself?
I did not watch the show itself. No, I did not. That, to me, is like watching the third and fourth round of the NFL draft. Like, I'll just find out afterwards.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been a huge Selection Sunday guy, unless my team is definitively on the bubble, first four in, first four out kind of scenario, and then you watch to maybe see if they make it. But I knew Oregon was going to be in, and that was really the only thing that I cared about.
It was on one of the TVs in the sports bar we were at before the Kraken game.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if it was the day you were at the game or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
The game was Sunday evening.
Well, I missed it as well, and I don't. It's not like must see TV. Some years I watch it. Some years I don't.
Yeah. Do you happen to be sitting around the couch while it's on? Maybe I'll flip it on. But I also think that the players had restarted right around that time, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that if the players had been over, I probably would have watched it. But the players was back on it, so I watched that instead.
Well, the only reason I asked, and you guys didn't see it, so it's not really going to maybe stick with you. This was the first year without Greg Gumbel on the coverage in a long time.
I did see a lot of those homages to him of not having Greg Gumbel on the show. I was also reminded of, I think it was last year, that Charles Barkley tried to tell Greg Gumbel that he showered in his uniform after games to save money, and they didn't do laundry. And that then led to Clark Kellogg laughing at him like, are you an idiot? Nobody ever did that. And it led to a unraveling of the show and the set. And so I do miss Greg Gumbel.
Lindsay Schnell wrote a really good piece on The Athletic about him and how everybody on that show particularly really missed him.
Yeah.
Because it was that time of the year. And, you know, college basketball, he's kind of one of those names synonymous with it because of what, you know, he did in his career as part of that sport. Did he ever walk that comment back, or did they all laugh and move on?
I think they just laughed and moved on. I don't know if that was ever readdressed by Charles Barkley. One of the dumbest things ever said on television.
So like a made-up story?
Just and a made-up story.
And address it again.
You know, I think it was back in my day, things were harder rant that he was going on, and then for some reason it popped into his head that I'm going to say we showered in our jerseys to wash them.
Something that I saw, and I meant to play this yesterday, but the color of my jacket disrupted one of our segments.
It did. Yeah, we got a little distracted.
And so I had forgotten that I pulled this cut, and so it's still in the system, and I wanted to play it because I saw this live. And whatever you think of what he's been, there is no refuting the impact of the sport and in my life, and I would believe yours, that Dick Vitale has had impact-wise as a sports commentator.
Diaper Dandy! He's awesome, baby!
Yeah.
He's a PTP-er! I still use PTP-er.
I do, too.
Still use it in my day-to-day life.
I used to, when my kids would walk successfully, I'd be like, she's a diaper dandy!
Diaper dandy! I'm totally going to steal that.
But, you know, I watched a lot of Dick Vitale in my life, and unfortunately, he's battled cancer now four times, and he was on the ACC title game broadcast between Louisville and Duke. And Duke had this game well in hand. This game's over. It's the final 30 seconds. And they kind of laid out, and I just wanted to play this because you can kind of hear what the last couple of years have meant for Dick Vitale to be able to get back to broadcasting basketball.
It's been like, to me, a miracle, really, to sit here with you guys. I can't tell you how much it meant to me. Really, it's been unbelievable.
You're the best, pal. You're the best.
Tough 3 years. Those four cancer battles, but I don't wish on anybody. Cancer sucks, and I'll tell you this. Anybody battling cancer, please listen. Think positive always and have faith and believe. And if you're out there as a person that knows someone with cancer, send them a text message. Send them a phone call. Make a phone call. The bottom line, it means so much. I know it meant a lot to me in my darkest moment. when I was in the hospital doing chemo and had a bad, bad day. And man, it was a tough, tough time, and I had to stay overnight, and my family left, and I woke up crying like crazy, and a nurse came in, and she cheered me up. And then I went to my phone, and on my phone were messages from all over the country, from Rick Barnes, Tom Izzo, Calipari, coaches.
Hey, who sent you a message in the first half tonight? Was that LeBron James' mom?
That's what it said on the thing.
That's Miss Gloria.
Is that Gloria
James? That's Miss Gloria James.
Legitimate number.
Shot won't go down for Edwards, although he's had a big night and a great tournament.
Dickie V, let me tell you, before we get off here, we'd love to have you back. I can speak for my guy Dave O'Brien. We think you belong right here with us.
Yes.
And so, absolutely, we would love to have you back.
Please.
Go have a great summer, rehabbing, getting better, and let's do it again next year.
I appreciate that, Corey, really.
So I thought he was very, you know, touched by that moment, emotional in that moment. Reminded me a little bit of Hubie Brown. I know Hubie retired and he's in his 90s, but kind of similar in terms of just you're watching that and the raw emotion can kind of just hit you randomly.
It's a guy who has been the voice of a sport forever. That's the only voice of college basketball that I know. Not that he's the only one or there aren't other great analysts or play-by-play guys or personalities. Of course, there are multiple. He's like, when you think of college basketball broadcasting, Dickie V is the first thing that pops up in your head.
Yeah.
He just has had that impact on the sport. And I view it similarly to the other side of college football with what Lee Corso was for a long time. Now, unfortunately, that has not aged well, and he's still kind of tried it out there, and it's kind of awkward the way that they use him.
It's so awkward.
It's not great, but I'm trying to not allow that to overshadow. It's like watching Jerry Rice in a Seahawks jersey, you know? Like,
no.
I'm not going to remember that. That's not Jerry Rice.
You're not good enough. They cut him.
This is not a thing. You're not that. You're a 49er Jerry Rice. That's who you are, and I'm trying to do that with Lee Corso because he was the personality of college football forever, and Dickie V was and has and hopefully still will be for college basketball.
Well, I mean, look, Lee Corso's last few years haven't changed or tarnished any thought of me with Lee Corso in college football. He will just always remain what he is in that sport.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it's not good. No, it's not good at all.
It feels like elderly abuse sometimes.
It does.
To be honest.
Stop trotting him out there. Stop doing it.
I know ESPN. He wants to do it, but, you know, it's tough. It's tough to watch some of our heroes age.
It is.
And we're kind of, you and I are now at an age now, even Swag, there's just some people that have been around most of our lives as sports fans that they're at that doorstep of, well, this career is just about done.
You're about to wrap this bad boy up. And I'm just glad that Dickie V is back and healthy enough to call a game. And you could tell the emotions that he feels in doing so. Just having him back. I remember the first game that he called during the regular season. I'm not an avid watcher of college basketball, but I remember making an effort to turn on that game at the start. And he got a great standing ovation. Everybody was applauding him. It was like, man, this is really cool. Think about the last 3 years and everything he's been through to get back to that point, which was probably the only thing that mattered to him, was to get back on the sideline of a college basketball game.
Who is, if it's not Dickie V now, is it Jay Billis?
Jay Billis, probably.
Would he be the next biggest name in the sport?
Yeah, I think so.
Him or Bill Raftery?
Raftery.
Onions!
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 He told a great, I didn't know the origin of onions, but he told the story recently.
It's
that
it balls.
He said he's called it first on a Nets game, and they were getting house in one of their, like, tanking years, and that was the first time he ever used onions because he was so bored on the broadcast. They were such a bad team.
Mm.
And he said, I just said onions randomly, and everybody looked at him like, what? And the ESPN people told him to stop using it. Like, don't say onions. That's really weird. Please don't do that. And then people started to include the word onions in their articles on college basketball when something big would happen or a play. Like, hey, this guy had onions. And then they sent him an email. We're like, by the way, can you start using onions again? Please bring that back into your dialogue.
So to be clear, people were referencing onions a term of big balls.
They
but
were.
He's claiming that was said onions.
He said they were losing by 30, and some guy hit a knockdown jump shot, and he was just so bored on the call because nothing good was happening. He was just like onions, and then his play-by-play partner looked at him like, "What did you just say?"
I don't know if I believe
you. But you're not buying
it. You're buying that.
Rafferty
and Swag with a long cucumber.
What?
I just said long cucumber. I was bored. Yeah, because we don't know what you're trying to hint at there.
Onion.
Dirt was talking about Lucas Glover's long cucumber yesterday. It was very weird.
Guy's got a hog, man.
Those golf pants are getting too tight.
Yeah, just search Lucas Glover on Twitter if you want to go down a rabbit hole.
Nobody wants that rabbit hole.
It's, you know, some people do.
Really trying to claim onions isn't about...
That was his claim. I don't know. I don't know Bill personally. I'm just telling you. I'm just passing on the story. Secondhand.
Usually only use the term when a guy shoots and hits a big shot.
Onions!
Just an indicator of...
Stones.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Well. All right, coming up next, why don't you shut up and legislate on The Fan? An admission about an athlete and Tracy Morgan puking all over a basketball court. We'll get to that coming up. And an unlikely ally for one Andy Dirt Johnson. Maybe the most unlikely of allies.
Did we just become best friends? I think we did.
Maybe there'll be two sweatshirts on this show that'll be worn.
If he pulls this off... I'll have to contemplate it.
A couple years back, LeBron said something about something, and people took it and ran with it and led their news programs with it. And I think, was it Laura Ingraham that said, shut up and dribble?
Yes. I believe she, amongst many others, had the shut up and dribble, stay out of politics.
Ah, that's right. I always love when those people get upset when, you know, American citizens give their opinions on the inner workings of their country. I have a message to the politicians.
Ooh.
Shut up and legislate. West Virginia's the fifth highest poverty rate in this country, but Patrick Morrisey is the governor of that state.
Yes, he is.
And he's got bigger fish to fry than helping his citizens make, you know, livable wages. He's filing a lawsuit because West Virginia didn't make the NCAA tournament. Here is the moron, Patrick Morrisey.
West Virginia deserved to be in the NCAA tournament. This was a miscarriage of justice and robbery at the highest level.
Robbery at the highest level.
Well, why don't you abort this lawsuit and again start working for people on real issues instead of caring about college basketball where they were, what, 20-12? What was their record?
Their record on the season was 19-13.
Yikes.
For the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Shut
they finished
up.
In seventh place in the Big 12. They lost in the second round of the Big 12 tournament to Colorado, who, let me check my notes, not very good this year. I believe Colorado finished in last place in the Big 12, if I'm not mistaken.
They were the 16th seed.
Yeah. Yeah, the last seed in the Big 12, that's who they lost to in their conference tournament, the worst team in their conference this year. They got smoked by Pitt during the regular season. They got killed by Arizona during the regular season. They got killed by Houston during the regular season. They got smoked by Texas Tech, by BYU. The list goes on and on, and lost in the second round of their conference tournament.
Didn't I just realize how embarrassing this makes them look?
No, they don't, because it's a headline grabber. It's an attention seeker. This is not going to go anywhere. You're not going to file an injunction and have the NCAA tournament not begin. You weren't selected. You were 19-13 this year. This is the funniest thing that happens, that we yell about the back end of the bracket to the point where these teams are clear, like head and shoulder. How do you not put them in? Look, I have no issue with the argument that North Carolina shouldn't have been in. They were like 1-12 or whatever it was against quad one teams.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, that's fine. But like this idea, it's a miscarriage of justice to have the seventh place Big 12 team who went 19-13 not
slow
go to the tournament.
There.
Like, hey, how about we go 21-11 and then you're in? How about that? Handle that.
I just, like, of all the things you could concern yourself with as a governor of a state, I cannot believe this is even in the top 1,000.
It shouldn't be, but, you know, here we are, and these are the things that garner the attention.
Maybe they need the units to help, help with the budget.
Good. Yeah, they needed the gambling on the game in order to help.
No, the tournament
units. Oh, the tournament units. Oh, I was going to say, gambling's legal in West Virginia.
That'll
get more
funnel
bets
through the public institution.
But. I got to admit to you, I saw some of this chatter before yesterday's show. We didn't bring it up and then got done with the show and heard more chatter. I guess I'm a little puzzled why anybody is outraged or confused how North Carolina got to at least the play-in in this. We did this like conspiracy. Well, Bubba Cunningham is on the committee, and of course they were going to get in. And I just respond with, "They're North Carolina.
Yeah,
that's
how it works.
Bubble teams. Who did you think they were going to give that to? San Francisco,
right?
Syracuse did this like three different times in the Boeheim era.
They did. Oh, yeah.
They barely should
they
have made the
tournament. They were 19-14, but yes. They
were Syracuse, and they had Jim Boeheim as their head
and
coach.
And I think that year they went to the Sweet 16. It was like they should not be in this tournament, and they go to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, the other teams we're debating here are West Virginia and Indiana. I saw Indiana play twice. They couldn't score more than 60 points on Oregon. Yeah. Like, that's... I'm not losing sleep over Indiana not being in the NCAA tournament.
North Carolina's going to lose. They're not winning the championship. No. I don't know if they'll win their play-in game. Why are we so outraged because somebody on the committee
we do this
is
every
an
year.
Athletic director as if he just fixed and cooked up the whole bracket.
Now, for a school like Boise State who was in consideration, like, okay, I'll listen to them because they're – You know,
you're not winning an argument against North Carolina.
Yeah, they're not getting
well,
Boise
exactly,
State.
Simply because they're North Carolina.
Right.
Okay. If the last playoff spot in college football is up for debate and Boise didn't win their conference, but they have one loss, is it going to go to them or is it going to go to two loss Alabama
or Notre Dame?
It's going to go to the bigger school.
Yeah. Boise State was 24-10 on the year.
That's a great year.
Fourth place in the Mountain West Conference. Like, that's just not. You're not getting in over a blue blood. It's just not going to happen.
No.
But the reason why I mainly don't get wrapped up in this stuff is because there's too many damn teams to begin with. North Carolina shouldn't be in the tournament.
But did you hear some of the noise on this yesterday?
I mean, it's the people in college hoops are just absolutely flabbergasted, and now we're going conspiracy theories as if it was all orchestrated by the North Carolina AD because he gets a $7,000 bonus if they make the tournament.
Oh, man, that $7,000 bonus.
Like, I understand that we all want to think that things are rigged against us and there's some grand. And, you know, Wizard of Oz behind the curtain who's pulling the strings on this stuff. It could just be as simple as West Virginia wasn't very good this year.
Well, they're citing Deep State.
Indiana was not very good this year. Boise State played in the Mountain West Conference. And I don't know if you know this. North Carolina, pretty popular.
Are they?
Pretty popular.
Blue blood in that sport?
Pretty popular.
Okay, all right.
One of the most recognizable logos in sports.
Would $7,000 even cover the tip cost for the cart girls at Bubba Cunningham's golf course?
Probably not.
No, it would not. No, it
but he
not.
Did it all for the seven grand
for
bonus.
The seven grand. Probably didn't even know that was in his contract.
No, he had no clue.
His wife's going to get that money. He's not even going to see a cent of it.
And that'll get her one outfit.
Yeah,
I can't wait for them to extend this stupid tournament to like 98 teams.
And we still get outraged.
And this is going to be the takeaway, too.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
How? They were 17-15. How are they not number 98? Like, God, what are we doing, man?
What did you say John Rothstein tweeted? Wasn't he pro
West
Virginia?
He went on. He said this was one of the biggest. He stole, I think he said it before, the West Virginia guy stole his line. He said this is one of the biggest miscarriages of justice in college basketball history.
Yeah, Lenardi was pretty up in arms, too, that
really?
Both Texas and Carolina got in.
Jay Billis said
they're
the
not in. If they lose, they're not in. It's a play-in.
Right.
Well, it's play-in, and they get a full tournament share.
Oh,
yeah,
tough crap.
I know. Jay Billis had the most rational take of this. He was just like, I'm not going to get outraged over the 39th team in net rate. Like, I don't care.
Yes.
I don't care. If you want to be in the tournament in West Virginia, don't go 19-13.
Boom.
Boom. Indiana beat Oregon one time, and you're in the tournament.
Yeah.
Don't lose to Oregon twice, and you're in the tournament.
There you go.
There you go. Pretty simple.
Tracy Morgan yakking all over the court, and an admission about this athlete. Get to that coming up next on The Vamp. I'm going to start the second hour in a place I didn't think I would start it on a Tuesday. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. It's the final therapy Tuesday. An unlikely ally for one Andy Dirt Johnson at the top of the hour. A quick admission, and then I want to get to Tracy Morgan yakking all over the court last night in that Nick Heat game.
That did not look good.
I believe that when this man's career is over, I'm going to be sitting kind of more alone. It'll be like a cover band that only really I like. And so I'll be at the cover band concert and there'll be like 15 of us going crazy, losing our minds. And
woo, this is awesome.
What's wrong with those guys?
Play Freebird.
I think Russell Westbrook's one of my favorite players just in NBA history. I just got to be honest with you guys. I understand all his deficiencies. I understand what you say about winning and having a player that wins. I don't know if you watched last night's Nuggets-Warriors game. I was pretty bummed to find out that Jokic and Murray weren't playing. I don't keep up with all the injury stuff because I don't want to get upset.
Who's in, who's out.
And so just before the game starts, I find out they're not playing, and I went, damn it. But I kept it on the iPad screen, watching the Blazer-Wizard game, and I had it on the iPad screen, and I'm watching this, and Sim Effer had 11 assists at the half. He's just dicing up the Warriors. He was, yeah, 1 of 5 from the field at halftime. But it didn't matter He had 3 steals and 11 assists. Yeah. And I'm at the end of his career, when it's all said and done, know this. Brandon J. Sprague is going to go down as a big Russell Westbrook fan. He really enjoyed himself some Russell Westbrook. If he was a player in the 90s, man, his legend would be even bigger than his career already is, because who shoots threes? Right. What a stupid decision that would be.
He plays in an era in which shooting three-pointers is important, and unfortunately it's knocked him down a little bit.
I mean, I love me some Gary Payton. That's one of my other favorite players. Russell Westbrook would have eaten him alive with that athleticism and body size. Are you kidding me?
Look, I think this is a relatively small club, but probably bigger than you're giving it credit for when you look nationwide. I think he's got a bit of a cult following. It's like one of those. It's like an indie movie.
Really?
And all of a sudden it's got Oscar buzz because a lot of people like it. I think there's an underground of basketball fans that love Russell Westbrook.
I think there's a subculture
of Russell Westbrook fan who overlook his deficiencies and appreciate the player that he is, the athlete that he is. And the thing that I've always loved about Russell Westbrook is he plays his ass off every time he plays.
Every single night.
I have never turned on a game in which Russell Westbrook's in the lineup or playing and thought, "Yeah, he doesn't seem interested tonight."
Yeah.
He's flying at 140 miles an hour. Now, it's going to lead to 13 turnovers occasionally because he's out of control, but that dude plays his ass off night in and night out. I actually saw the final score of this game last night. I didn't watch it.
It was a shocking development.
And I just thought, wow, that's a nice little win, because we have our buddy Josh Doler in Denver who is now calling for like heads to roll, even though the playoffs haven't even begun yet.
They're like a game out of the two seed.
Murray, trade him away. Gordon, trade him away. Yeah. Fire the GM.
Like, they don't like Calvin Booth.
He's now on that train, and I just started chuckling reading this because I was like, isn't Denver? And I looked at the standings, and I'm like, oh, that's right. They're tied for the second seed in the Western Conference. So I saw this result last night, and I thought, that's kind of funny. And then I was wondering how Jamal Murray played, so I clicked on the box score, and then it dawned on me that maybe their two best players weren't in the lineup last night, yet they still won a game at Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not a popular thing. I actually feel way more people don't like him.
I mean, the majority of people are anti-Russell
Westbrook.
He did
a lot of here in Portland to make us hate him, right? Being a Thunder for all those years and him and Dame having those battles.
Yeah, great rivalry.
He absolutely has games where he goes 1 for 9 from 3. Yeah. And you know what? I watch those
stop.
And I go,
stop shooting. Stop shooting. Stop it.
Us. Don't do this to us.
Stop it.
Stop.
You can't shoot.
You hurt. I hurt. But, man, he does so many other things. And to your point,
he had 16 assists and 12 rebounds and 3 steals and 2 blocks last night.
He was unbelievable. Yep. They called him a wolf.
Oh, and by the way, hit a very clutch 3 in the fourth quarter when the Warriors
When
the Warriors were trying
to come back.
Also does a lot for his community.
He does.
He's
off the court, what he does off the court does not fit his persona on the court at all.
Wow, really? Why do you say that?
Well, he's very understated off the
quietly
court,
charitable,
and does so much for others, and it is patient. And
I kind of, you know, he's not patient as a player, but what I would say is I kind of feel like that is his personality on the court. He's very driven. He's more than willing to dish out the ball and say, "You get that shot?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we scored." You don't get that a lot.
But he doesn't have. He doesn't appear to have that edge that he has when he's on the court, where he looks like he's about to spontaneously combust.
That's the competitive side of him. That's just like raging with fire.
The juices get flowing in old Russell Westbrook.
He takes a lot of grief from people, and I certainly understand most of the people listening probably don't like him.
He's the kind of guy that if he was in Portland, we would have loved the hell out of that dude. Are you kidding me? The way he played night in and night out, we fall in love with Duop Reith, man. If Russell Westbrook was a Blazer for the last 15 years, we would have built that guy a statue.
Well, he's going to get a statue. He's got a league MVP.
Yeah.
Think about Denver Nugget fan, who's probably, as you mentioned, seems kind of miserable despite the fact that they're the second best team in the West. They signed him, and it was like, what?
Yeah.
Even I was like,
why? This doesn't make any sense.
He's not been their issue.
No.
It's been other things that have been their issue.
Him to accept and take that role that they are having him fill.
But see, he's kind of displayed that ability, I think, his whole career. He was always willing to be the number two in the KD Russ Harden thing.
Well, originally he was coming off the bench with Jamal.
Well, yeah, Jamal.
Murray.
Oh,
like
no, I'm talking about in OKC.
Early in his career.
And then it's KD and him, and KD wins the MVP, and he sits there and roots his guy on, and then KD leaves. Dude, he did the thing that we want an athlete that we love to do. KD ditched him. joined the team that beat them.
Yes, he did.
And what did he do the next year? It was like, F you, dude. Like,
he went and had a triple-double and won the MVP, I believe. Was that the next year?
It was. Yeah. But he also, like, when they played each other, he was, dude, F you forever.
I'm not talking to you. I'm not, you know, shaking your hand mid-court before the game.
Exactly, yeah. What you'd want to see the athlete do in that situation. And then he did the Houston thing. He was more than willing to be the second apple there. That kind of ego and success could have led that dude to say, no, I'm the number one here. And every time he's needed to, he's just folded right in and fit in with the team and found a way to contribute. Now, it hasn't led to a championship.
Right.
But there's only so many players that are going to win that thing.
There's a lot of guys who don't win NBA titles in their careers.
Right.
He might end up being in the list, but his career's not done. Maybe Denver wins the whole damn thing this year.
Maybe they win the West and you end up being right.
He gets a ring this season. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And the way that he handled the KD stuff, it'll always be one of the bigger what-ifs of the last 15 years of the NBA for me. Of just what does the league look like if Kevin Durant doesn't tuck his tail and run to the team that beat them in the playoffs? Because they were awesome to watch. They damn near beat that Golden State team in the conference finals.
Yeah.
They blew that series lead. Them and Golden State would have been a budding rivalry for the next 3 or 4 years.
And LeBron would have 6 rings. And LeBron would have. Debate would be really weird.
LeBron would have won more titles. Just that will always be one of the bigger what ifs for me of the last 15 years of the NBA.
Tracy Morgan yacked all over the Knick court last night in the Heat New York game, caused a delay on this one. I haven't seen any follow-up reporting. Have you guys seen anything? Because some people are wondering if this is another stroke.
I don't know. I know he got wheeled off, and throwing up's not good. He evidently was bleeding out of his nose, too, according to some of the fans that were nearby. Whoever the fan was that took the cross-court photo...
captured it in mid-dessert.
What's the photo? Is it like a Pulitzer? What do we give photos to? What awards do they win? Whatever awards are the top, you know... photograph gets?
I think it's a Pulitzer.
Is it a Pulitzer?
Or photojournalism?
Let's give him a Pulitzer. That guy does. Whoever that guy was who took that with his iPhone, give that guy a Pulitzer. That's a hell of a photo.
I mean,
live mid-action vomit.
Mid-action vomit.
Where you happen to have your camera ready to go. You look down, you're like, hey, Tracy Morgan sitting courtside. And then you see he's throwing up and you get the vomit going from the mouth down to the floor. That's an impressive photograph.
Something to note from that game I want to get to in the second hour, but we're going to start the second hour as we have a lot to get to. Tom Hudson, the longtime voice of Gonzaga.
Somebody said, I really need you guys to shut up. You're going to make me like Russell Westbrook. Stop it. Stop it.
Hey, I'm just going to say this. He's a fun player to root for because, you know, everybody kind of hates him.
Yeah.
And then he has these awesome plays and you go, only me, only me.
And then he goes 0 for 7 from 3 and you're like, damn it.
Well, yeah, he's not shooting. What do you want? Tom Hudson, longtime voice of Gonzaga Bulldogs. He's going to join us. Did they get hosed? We've got Bulldog and Bulldog action in the NCAA tournament. He'll join us for the Daily Ticker. It is a loaded second hour. We start an unlikely dirt ally, hour 2 on The Fan.